Hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Being Unapologetically Authentic with me, your host, Jean Tien. And this is the show, intersectionality of success and authenticity. And today we have our special guest, Andrea Hubbard, who is the founder of Hub & Company. Andrea is a public relations strategist and copywriter who helps creators be intentional in the ways they connect with their audiences. I am so excited to have Andrea with me today, and I heard her just now, so let's welcome Andrea. Hi, Andrea. How are you?
Oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to step all over your intro.
Oh, don't worry about it. It's an intro I'm sure our community has heard plenty of times, so it's totally okay. I'm just really excited to have you on the show with us today. So I wanted just to give you an opportunity to introduce yourself first and share with the audience a little bit about yourself and Hub & Company and what it is that you do to create magic for your clients.
Ooh. So thank you. As Jean said, my name is Andrea Hubbard. I'm the chief disruptor at Hub & Company, as I like to say, because I don't like titles. So why not make up one, right?
Love that title too, chief disruptor.
And so I am a PR strategist and copywriter, and I work with creatives, and that's all types, musicians, dancers, singers, artists, writers, etc., to help them get seen, heard, remembered, right? That's the important part, by all the right people. So, I focus really on dialing in on who are the, the ride or dies for you as a creator, or who are the people who are going to become your raving fans. Those are the people that I help you to connect with intention and purpose.
I love that. And the way that Andrea and I met, and sorry, I said Andrea at first, but the way that Andrea and I had met was that I actually was one of the speakers at her previous Spark virtual summit for creatives. It was an audio summit, which was so unique because I haven't seen, actually that was the first one that I've seen. And it was such a fun experience. And in getting to know Andrea at that point, I definitely wanted to bring her onto this show because I thought your story, Andrea, was just so unique. So, you know, how did you get started in this public relations field? How did you find and how did you, start to create Hub & Company?
Yeah, so I'll give you the Cliff Notes version because, you know, as a PR person, I could talk forever. So I started, the journey honestly started in high school. I promise this is Cliff Notes version. When I was in high school, I had a plan and a backup plan. My plan was that when people would say, what do you want to be when you grow up, right? I said, I wanted to be a wife and stay-at-home mother. And I am not mocking. I am not making fun. That legit is what I wanted to do.
Right.
Because I felt that, you know, being a homemaker was something I really thought I would enjoy. I really wanted to do that. Well, when I was in, and so my backup plan was to be in advertising and work on Madison Avenue. Mm-hmm. So when I was in college, I ended up doing an internship at a PR firm, not an advertising firm, and fell in love with PR. I was there for way longer than a normal internship. I was there for like 3 years. Ended up running my own campaign before I left at the Milwaukee Art Museum. So, you know, not like they didn't just shuffle me off and say, oh, you do this, you're cute. No, they actually gave me a real campaign to run. It had 13 artists that were coming in to do an exhibition at the museum. So I just fell in love with PR, never looked back towards advertising for sure. Okay. I never ended up getting married or having children, which I wish I had, but I hadn't. So I had to sort of, you know, put all of my energy into the PR side. And sometimes when people hear that and they think, but you're so ambitious, you're so accomplished. And it's, well, I had to because plan A didn't work out.
Well, not yet. I mean, it's not like, you know, you don't have time. So it
could. Aren't you nice? Yeah, no, that ship has sailed.
That's so funny. So I just wanted to share with the audience, like, you guys can see why I loved Andrea so much, because her energy is just so effervescent and so contagious, and you can't help but smile and laugh, and, you know, in all the good ways when you're talking to her. So this is why I'm so excited to have you on. And so, you know, one of the things that I thought was really interesting too was this concept of authenticity and success, because you truly, I think, embody that authenticity. And if you, and, you know, I was actually, before this show started, I was checking out your website, and it just screamed Andrea, because it was so aligned with your personality, with just kind of, you know, there's nothing about you that is conforming to, like, basics. You know, you're very much a bold and bright person. So how did you find your authenticity? Like, what did you, you know, how did you come to realize, like, who you are and who you wanted to serve and what made you happy?
Oh, that's such a wonderful question. So it, in college, again, everything came from college. I must have gone to a great school. I went to an all women's school, a Catholic all women's school to boot. And there were no grades. So that was like the cherry on top, no grades at school. But of course, you know, you had to pass your courses. It was definitely accredited. Don't think that I went to, like, just, you know, school on the street there. And one of the things that they really instilled in us, because we were women, was how to be assertive. Mm-hmm. And how to, you know, be critical thinkers, and how to stand up and speak about what you believe. And I carried that forward for all of my jobs until I had my, so I started in nonprofits, and then I worked with musicians, and then I had my first corporate job, my first and only corporate job. And at that job, that's when I actually, Jean, really lost my authenticity. I lost my sense of self because I did conform to corporate culture and I did try to fit in. And I always say I had so many holes in my tongue after that experience, because, I mean, I don't know if you've ever worked at a corporate job, but you don't really get to say what you think very often. And I just got tired of that. And so I did start saying what I thought, and I did start speaking up, and it was appreciated. Yeah. And I was like, what have I been doing all of this time? And so I decided at that point that I wasn't going to go backward. I was going to continue to just be who I am and say what I think. And honestly, that's why people hire, you know, me and other people, you, other people, is because they want us to tell them the truth. Now, I mean, we can't be blunt and rude. We have to have some tact and some decorum there, but they want to know the truth. They don't want yes men. People who hire me to do their PR or to write their copy want to know the truth, because that's how they get better, right? That's how they learn about their business and their audience and what works and what doesn't work.
I love that. I honestly love that, because I think that, you know, I've actually worked in corporate for over, I think if it's not over 20 years, it's definitely close to 20 years. And I think that that was what I had seen as well, is that when I first started, I thought that, you know, I wasn't able to speak my truth and to share differing opinions. And I think there's still a certain level of that. I think it really depends on your audience to a certain extent. But I think overall, people do, like you say, tend to appreciate differing views, as long as it's shared in a certain, I mean, you know, with a certain decorum in a certain way, that it's not rude, right? And, you know, and I also love the fact that people come to you because they know you're not going to give them fluff. They know you're going to be honest with them and have integrity when working with them. And those are the people that you attract. I'm sure that's your target niche, right? Or that's at least part of who your target niche is, because I can't imagine you would be happy working with people that you would have to, like, be complacent to, or, you know, say yes to all the time.
I couldn't do it. I absolutely couldn't do it. There's just, you know, I've always been strong-willed. I don't know if it's because I'm an only child or again because of the schooling or what. I've always been strong-willed. And I just, you know, to use a cliche, I allowed that corporate job to dim my light, and there's absolutely no way that I can do that again. That was, the work was good, the people were, you know, fine, but the corporate culture just, it doesn't work for me. I'm just not a good employee that way. I can't be somewhere when you tell me to be somewhere. I can't sit in endless meetings with no point, and you know, just all the things. A cubicle, oh, cubicles drive me crazy. I just don't understand who came up with that concept. I mean, I get it, but geez, Louise. So I could never do it. And if I did end up with a client like that, you know, either it's gonna sound so bold. Either they're gonna have to change the way they work if they want to work with me, or we're just not gonna be able to work together.
No, and it makes a lot of sense. And you know, when and is this and I guess, you know, the question came to me is that, you know, is this how you discovered that you have more of a passion to work with the creatives rather than the corporates?
Yes. You know, and I love my corporate clients, don't get me wrong. I've lucked out. I'm using air quotes. I've had some really great corporate clients. But I definitely prefer working with the creatives, and I think that this goes back to when I started my career with nonprofits, because nonprofits, you get to see the results, right? They're mission-based, and you see the results of your work. And with creatives, while they may or may not be mission-based, they may or may not be nonprofits, you know, I work with individuals as well as organizations that support creatives. But you definitely get to see the results of your work, and you get to be a part of it. And I'm not saying that in an arrogant way. I'm just saying, you know, that you are making a difference when, at least I do, when I work with people who truly appreciate the work that I do, and who look to me and accept the guidance that I'm giving to them, right? Like they're not paying some pain away. Oh, just go and write, you know, this white paper for me. I love white paper. They truly need everything that they come to you for, and if you do good work, they appreciate it, and they talk to you about the results, and they talk to you about, you know, what's happening with them as a dancer, or some, you know, performer, artist, whatever it might be, and you get to understand more about what makes them tick and what makes their audience tick, which makes you better able to consult and provide services.
I love that. And then do you then take that information after you meet with them and get to know them better, then to instill that into or to in, include that into your copywriting, your public relations strategy? Like you take all of their personality and put that into your strategy for them too?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I do have a very strong and distinct voice, but my voice is not the voice that I write for other people, right? I write so that their personality shines through.
And that I think is such a key when it comes to a great copywriter, especially for those who are in the creative space, right? Because they're not cookie cutters. So I love that about the services that you provide. And one of the questions that I wanted to ask you is like, because your service offers the ability to help your clients get seen and remembered. So what, in your opinion, if you were to give our community here one or two tips, like what would be the top two or one tips that you can give them to help them get seen and heard and, you know, really truly remembered, right, by the people who they're looking to connect with?
Yes, I think that the number one thing is to lean in to your quirks, idiosyncrasies, tics, the things that make you, the things that you think you need to hide are the things that you need to show more of, because that's how the people that you're trying to attract, right? The people that you're trying to build community with, the people who you're trying to develop as fans, whatever it is that you do, that's how they're going to know who you are and how you and they
you know, align the vibe, the how you jive with them. Because if they can't see that, if they can't see your values on display, if they can't see your personality on display, you're just like everybody else then. And I really firmly believe that. And I also believe that from a differentiating standpoint within your marketplace too. The more you lean into that, the more you're going to be able to compete, because, you know, as a small business owner, we can't compete with large companies on scale, right? We can't compete with budget. We can't compete with resources, perhaps like people resources. We can't compete with, right, you know, all of those things, but we can definitely compete and own who we are and what we stand for and right, how we communicate that.
And, you know, and I think it's so interesting that you bring this up too, Andrea, because I feel like from what I've seen, large companies and large PR companies and corporates have really gone towards the direction of quote unquote authenticity, right? I think we see that a lot more in marketing. We're seeing that a lot more in the strategies that they implement. So do you, and, but yet, like at the same time, the small business owners, or the, I'll call them the smaller business owners, right? Do you feel like that's an advantage that the smaller business owners have over the larger corporations when it comes to this strategy?
I do, because the larger corporations, while they are trying to embrace it, it's a tactic. It's a ploy for them. It's not always genuine.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it can't be, to be fair, it can't be. There's too many personalities. There's too many voices. It's all decision by committee for them. Whereas as a small business owner, that's where you can shine, because it's, you know, if you're a solopreneur, it's you. You're making all of the decisions. You are the face of your company. If you're a small business, you have less infrastructure that you need to get through. You have less roadblocks that you need to get through in order to let that personality shine. And usually as a small business, it's probably still founder-led, or at least the values of the founder are still, you know, alive within that company. So you can pinpoint the voice to lead with, right? But in larger companies, they just can't do that.
And what do you tell your clients then, you know, when you're asking them, or when they're asking you to help them with the strategy, what is it that you ask them to help them really get in touch with their authenticity in terms of really better understanding who they are, so that there's an execution of a brand that is very much aligned with who they are?
Yeah, I ask them a lot of questions that they don't think are helping to, what am I trying to say? I ask them a lot of questions that they think are just me being, you know, jovial, right? Just to get to know you, but they actually have purpose. So I ask them, I ask them to tell me lots of stories, because when you start telling stories, that's when I think you're most genuine, right? Because they're stories. They just come right out of you. You don't really have to think a lot when you tell a story. So I ask them to tell me lots of different stories. I ask them to tell me, you know, what do they love about their audience? I ask them to tell me, you know, like, what do you want from a head, you know, people to take away from this copy from a head perspective? Mm-hmm. What do you want them to take away from a heart perspective? You know, what do you do better? Like, I ask them, who are three competitors? We don't need a lot. So who are your top three competitors or peers? And what do you do better than them? And what do they do better than you?
Mm-hmm.
Because we have to understand where you win. Again, air quotes, where you win, where they win. I just ask them a lot of different things that I'm then able to bring it all together to understand more about who they are, definitely through the stories that I ask them to tell me. And they're not all business related stories either. And then who their audience is, by asking them these questions related to, you know, what do they love about them? What's, you know, what do they want them to take away? What, you know, all of those things.
I love that. I love that. And then, so do you work mostly with individuals, or do you work through their agencies, or is it more like, I think you mentioned Milwaukee Art. So is it more like a museum type of clientele?
Yeah. Right now I am direct to consumer, baby. I don't even know if that makes sense. I work with the individuals.
Meaning I am one of your target niche.
Yes.
There we go.
and small businesses too.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And then so one question that I've started asking all of my guests is, what is your definition of success?
My definition is, if I continue to really love what I do, yeah, of course, there's going to be bad days and down days and things like that. But if I continue to really love what I do, then that's successful. That's being successful.
That's awesome. And then what about for those days where you just don't feel it? You don't feel connected to it? Because I think as creatives, right, there's always going to be days that we love what we do. And then there are other days where maybe not so much. And you're kind of wondering why you're doing it in the first place. And, you know, you don't even want to look at the book that you're writing, you know? So like, what is your number one piece of advice for people who are just feeling a little disconnected from their definition of success?
Don't look at pictures of cubicles. No, on those days when it's hard and it's hard to, you know, do the thing, whatever the thing is that you do, and it's hard to be motivated, and it's, you know, you start to feel like, am I moving this needle any, you know, further than it was? Those are the days when, number one, I think you got to take a break, whether it be the whole day, an hour, however long you can, you got to step away, I really believe, and just kind of let your mind reset itself, because the more we try and push something, the harder it's going to be. And yeah, I speak from experience on this one. So you got to just let your mind take a break, right? Like just rest yourself, and then excuse me, and then come back to it and say, okay, I'm going to give this 20 minutes, an hour, whatever. And you'll notice that because you're refreshed and because you've got a new perspective and you put yourself on a, you know, a time, there's a time constraint, you're going to get it done, or you're going to at least get so far into it that you want to keep going. Mm-hmm. At least this is what happens for me.
Yeah, no, I love that. And I absolutely agree with you. I think sometimes stepping away, it brings fresh perspectives, as you say. And so, and it doesn't feel like such, I think sometimes our creative juices get stuck, or gets, quote unquote, the energy gets choked on it, because we're so in forcing energy rather than flow energy, right? And then so, and I think, you know, like you said, that's when you have to step away. That's when you have to allow for the energy to come out in different ways, and then to reconnect with what you love, whether that's nature or music, or, I mean, you know, you turn up the music and you start singing and dancing, even if it's by yourself, and you feel like so much better, especially, you know, if nobody's watching you dance. Yeah, I do. So, yeah.
Especially if people are watching you dance.
Oh, maybe, yeah, for your clients. Yes, absolutely. If you dance like, you know, Elaine in Seinfeld, maybe not so much, but... but for your clients, yes, they definitely want them to be, you know, out there. So let's share with the audience here, Andrea, how do they reach out to you? How can they find you if they want to learn more about how to work with you? If you have a, you know, I know you have a website, so if you want to share that, or Instagram, etc.
Yeah, so my website is hubandcompany.com. So a funny story is, I can't tell you how many times people have said, I always go to husband company. No,
that's funny.
hubandcompany.com. And on social media, I'm, you know, on all of the platforms as at Andrea Said It, A-N-D-R-E-A Said It.
Thank you so much, Andrea. And any last words for our community, both yours and mine, in terms of what you would like for them to take away from our chat today?
Yeah, thanks, Jean. I just want people to be themselves. I know that sounds so trite. It really does. But I'm telling you, that, you know, we all have something, we have baggage somehow, whether it be personal in our personal lives, in our professional lives, whether we work corporate, we had the golden handcuffs, whatever it is, that can potentially prevent us from just being who we are and realizing that that's perfect and that's what people need and leaning into it instead of away from it.
I love that. I love that. And then so for those of you who are in corporate, for those of you who are outside of corporate or anywhere you are, be yourself, right? Yeah. And don't hold back and don't be afraid to share. And even if it is a differing opinion. And I think that, you know, I think one of the things that we see a lot now, and you know, I'm sure this could be a whole other conversation, is this concept of the cancel culture, where, you know, people are afraid to share a differing opinion. And I think that, you know, there's always a different way of sharing it where, you know what, even if people cancel you, it's never permanent, right? It's never like the full population of the earth. It's just not going to be possible. So you're going to find your target audience no matter what.
Yeah, right. You have to feel good about it, right? So if you know that by not saying something, you're not going to feel good about that conversation or that situation, well, then you got to say something.
Yeah.
Again, it's like we said before, you have to make sure you say it in the right way, of course, but saying it is a lot better than not saying it, because for one, you take away someone's ability to agree with you, right? Mm-hmm. Or to accept what you're saying, because you've made the decision for them by not saying it. Mm-hmm. And secondly, it's like, well, you don't want to have that kind of regret, and you don't want to ruminate on that for days and weeks because you didn't do it. That's not good either.
No, and I love it. And then for those of you, ruminate will be the word of the day, because I was like, I love that. It's an SAT word. So there you go. Not only are we inspirational and motivational and philosophical and thought-provoking, we're also very educational in this show, guys. We are. All right. Well, thank you so much, Andrea. Thank you so much for joining us today. I'm so excited for our audience to be able to get to know you better through this episode. And for those of you who are listening, if you have enjoyed this episode, if you have found value in the wisdom that Andrea has shared with us today, please like and subscribe. And also, please share with your friends, right? Whether they're in corporate or in the creative space, I think everyone can benefit from Andrea's wisdom, especially when it comes to how we can be seen and heard, and most importantly, remembered for who we are authentically. And I will talk to you soon, guys. Thanks so much. Bye.